This is the Austin Road Show podcast. The Roads Rewind.
And she's a very special guest in my heart, even though I can honestly say I think I've only been in the same room with her about three or four times over the years. But we've gone back and forth on Facebook a number of times and through email and instant messages and all this. Her name is Jody Ritson, and she is the personal, was one of the personal assistants of Mike Nesmith for the last 6 years before he took ill a few years ago and had to kind of retire from touring for a while. She also works as a close personal assistant to Mickey Dolenz. And I think the last time, Jody, that I was able to visit with you in person was probably in Los Angeles for the celebration of the Head, the 50th anniversary of Head. And you very graciously, I came up to you right as the crowd was gathering after the movie wrapped up. I said, Jody, I've got to get a flight back to Atlanta literally in an hour. Can you please put me at the head of the line so I can hug your necks? And you said, oh, my God, yeah, you came all the way from Georgia. And I said, yes, and believe it or not, my bosses scheduled a cotton-picking appearance for me that I have to fly back in the middle of the night to make. And you very graciously did that, and I will forever be in your debt because that was the last time I got to hug Mike's neck. Damn it.
And see, for me, one of the most exciting things was when COVID hit and we were obviously in lockdown. And, you know, to keep Nez busy and to keep everybody staying positive, I remember we were doing the virtual meet and greets and we got to surprise your son.
Yes.
With the meet and greet.
Yes. It's an amazing situation for you personally. I was telling, I've got a guest here in the studio who's kind of eavesdropping on the conversation. You became a fan of the Monkees in 1986. You are younger than I am. I was first wave Monkees fan. You're younger than I am. You fell in love with them literally as a group when MTV brought them back in 1986. And the most hilarious pictures in the world, ladies and gentlemen, are of Jody as a 12-year-old girl just fawning all over the pictures of, you know, Davey and Mickey and Mike. And here she is all these years later. You spent 6 years as Mike's right hand. And every personal appearance that he made outside of his home in California, you were there at his side, almost every one of them. And not long after that, you started working for Mickey in the same capacity.
I did. You know, we did a convention in 2014, and people had said, my goal was I was getting Michael Nesmith, and everyone said, that's impossible. You know, he doesn't do conventions. And after a lot of convincing and all that kind of stuff, and money, of course, I remember it was around this time, 2013, and I got an email that said that he agreed to the terms and he'd be at the convention. And when I was reading it, I thought that's what I was reading, but I was freaking out so badly that I actually had to call his assistant and make sure that I understood it correctly. And even when we had called Peter to tell him, he didn't believe us, and his wife said, you know, something nasty that I was lying, basically. And then Mickey said, well, I have to call and confirm it with Nez, because they did not actually believe that he was going to do it.
Well, I was telling my friend here in the studio, Jody, that Michael really came around, and it was like a slap in the face, and I've heard him discuss it. He and I discussed it briefly. When Davey died, it was a wake-up call for him, and he said, you know, he said, I'm not a man with a lot of regrets, and I regret not hugging that little Englishman and apologizing and telling him I love him. I hate it, and I'll never get to do it, and I don't want to feel that way ever again. And
when I tell you, Nez, and one of the things that I've been doing on Facebook since he passed away is sharing stories, because there were so many stories from the 60s and 70s where Nez was just difficult. I mean, he said it in his own book, Infinite Tuesday. He was a real pain in the rear end. And that's not the man that I saw, and it's not the man that I knew. There were so many silly stories, fun stories, that I couldn't even do a tell-all with anything negative. He was unbelievable. He just was just everything that you hope Same thing with Mickey. Everything that you hope as a kid that the person that you're looking up to is like in real life, that's been the experience that I've had with both of these guys. Just, I do consider myself so lucky every day. I mean, I'm glad I think I knew him in the best times of his life. And he just is, he's getting so many celebrity accolades, you know, tweeting and Instagramming and whatever they do, from everyone from Ringo to Bernie Taupin.
My operations manager sent me a clip of Rodney Crowell doing a tribute to him.
I just saw that. Yeah. It's amazing, and I actually was messaging with Christian the other day, his son. I only wish that these celebrities took Nez as seriously when he was here than the day that he passes away, because he really was a genius. He really did open all the doors for people. I mean, he was the first person to ever have from a Grammy for his video Elephant Parts. I mean, the guy was a genius, and I just wish that we had all those famous people paying him this respect when he was here. But it makes me feel really great as a fan, because I was always made fun of. I mean, till this day, I'm made fun of. Why the monkeys, you know? No, I don't even understand why.
Well, because they have pictures of you when you were a little girl going goo-goo, that's why.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, they just made sense. And somebody actually pointed it out that when the Beatles started getting a little bit more into, like, their heavy stuff, Sgt. Pepper and Dana Life, all those songs that were more complicated, the kids that were younger, they were still into I Want to Hold Your Hand and the fun stuff. And I think that's when the monkeys came and kind of gave them that innocent, I don't have to think a lot about this, I don't care that they're geniuses. It was just fun music. And I do prefer the music over the television show, even though the show was, you know, what I had seen first.
Well, that's what got everybody to the table. And to me, it reminds me of a romance between, you know, when you look across a bar, you never see somebody, you go, oh, my goodness, look at that intellect. Look at that incredible talent. You go, wow, that's a good-looking person. And that was the attraction of the television show. It was lighthearted. It won an Emmy. It won Best Comedy of 1967, which is amazing when you think about the competition that it had. What really strikes me, though, about these guys is their ability to evolve past the stereotype Hollywood production. They were given the opportunity because of their success to carve their own way. And I saw a review in a Nashville newspaper during the 50th anniversary tour, when I was actually in Nashville to watch them at the Ryman Auditorium, where it was almost a track by track review of Headquarters. And it really hit the nail on the head. That was the album that the Four Monkeys said, we're just going to do this ourselves. And with the exception of very little minute help from outside musicians, came out with songs like Randy Scalskit, which is written by Mickey, For Pete's Sake, which is one of my very favorite songs of all time, written by Peter Tork. And, of course, what I call the perfect monkey song, which is The Girl That I Knew Somewhere. It charted.
Yeah.
It was played exclusively by the Monkees, and it was written by Michael Nesmith, lead vocal of Mickey Dolenz. Perfect monkey song. Everybody contributed. And I want to grab these people that say, those weren't real musicians. I want to punch them in the nose. Listen, there is a method to my madness. You have proven yourself to be the best organizer and Monkees cheerleader out there in the world, and seeing as how you know Mickey personally and worked with Mike all those years. I'm working with a couple of different people. I know Mike Mills of REM. I'm reaching out to Deanna Brown, who is James Brown's daughter. Mr. Brown was a friend of mine. He's from Augusta, which is where we are. And I want to put together a coalition of Hall of Fame members and relatives. And I want them to make the case. I don't want the fans to make the case. We can't do it. They're not going to listen to us. I think they're going to listen to Stephen Stills. I got a fan letter from Stephen Stills' daughter, when I wrote an article about Peter and Mickey coming to Augusta back in 5-6 years ago for the 50th anniversary tour. And if Stephen Stills and Mike Mills and Michael Stipe from REM and maybe Don Henley and Linda Ronstadt, these people that knew and worked with the Monkees, that were influenced by them, that were their friends. Stephen Stills and Peter were best friends. Stephen Stills has said on many occasions, had it not been for Peter's generosity, he would have gone broke and left California years before he was able to be a big success. So if we can let those people handle the work behind the scenes, I think we can get them in the Hall of Fame. I really do.
People tell me, like, who cares at this point? I do.
Oh, I do too.
I do. I care because I feel like they deserve it. And if nothing else, the fact that they did become a band, that they were not organic, the fact that they did reach this success the most backwards way of anybody makes it to me even more a case for how can you not acknowledge. Makes no sense, and yet here we are, you know, with their success, and also we're still talking about them, you know, 56 years later.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, almost.
You did get a copy of Andrew's book, didn't you?
Let me tell you really quick. I ordered the book, the big book, because we all are a team, you know?
This is the definitive. I've talked about it on the air. It's the heaviest book I've ever owned in my life. It weighs more than Jody does. It's crazy.
I was actually told that. So I put the order in, and then Mickey called me a couple weeks, maybe the week that the book came out, and he says, listen, I want you to cancel the order for Andrew's book. And I said, why? He says, I want to buy it for you. And I said, wait a second. You do not have to do that. He goes, nope, I'm buying it for you. He said, I want you to get your money back, and I want to buy this for you. I'm going to sign it. You deserve this book. I'm going to cry. This is what I'm dealing with. This is the kind of people, I mean, I cannot even explain to you enough. They are as sweet, as wonderful, as understanding. And the only thing I've actually done was my whole mission really was to have the fans be able to experience what I did when I was 16 years old. I met Mickey when I was 16, and now I'm 47. And I remember where I was, what I was wearing, what I was saying, how I was, you know, all mixed up. I don't remember any gifts that I ever get, not to be ignorant, but, you know, every day is something different. I remember that like it was yesterday, and it makes my heart feel so good. And then I decided that was really what I wanted to be able to share with the fans. And I've seen thousands of people's faces light up when they've met these guys for the first time. And at first I really thought, you know, oh, well, you know, I can make some money at home because I can't do a regular job after some complications after I had my son. So I made it a point like, oh, well, you know, it's a little bit extra money I can make. And then we were at a convention and I said to Nez, and this is the words that I live by now. I said to Nez, I said, why did you decide to start doing conventions? And I was waiting for him to go, oh, Jody, because of you, it was so wonderful. I love working with you. I mean, that's what I was expecting. That's what I wanted to hear. And what he said was, when I saw their eyes, when I did the convention, I saw the people's eyes, and I saw how much this meant to them. It was a look that I just can't shake. I knew that whatever it was the most important thing right now, and I have control of that. And ever since he told me those words, it literally changed my outlook on everything that I do. even when, you know, on the internet, there's a lot of people that can be nasty and negative. And I had asked Nez one time, because somebody attacked my son online, and I said to Nez, I said, how do you deal with this? I said, somebody just made a comment that my son fell asleep at one of the shows, because he was like 6 years old. And Nez's assistant at the time, she said, oh, my God, my two kids fell asleep at his show. And Nez was driving his car, and he says, you know what? I used to get very angry at this kind of stuff. And then I had to realize, I don't know what happened in that person's day, in that person's life, that made them so nasty or so mean. So just, it's hard, but you just have to ignore it, because you don't know what's up, what's their problem, not that you've done anything wrong. Well, and this man mentored me.
Yeah, I mean, they were so incredibly accommodating, and they really looked out for their people. I mean, they really did. I'm trying to find a picture as I'm listening to you talk. You mentioned your son. My son's very first concert was Davey's last tour, and we saw them at Chastain Park in Atlanta with the same couple that we were at the concert in Atlanta just a month ago to see. And Davey took a moment. My son was two. He was at the edge of the stage, and he sang, dedicated, "It's Nice to Be With You," to him. So a couple of years later, when Mike is with them, with Peter and Mickey after Davey passed, we have tickets to see them at the Paramount in New York. And it was a late night show because the Paramount's an adult venue. And my son, Bo, who I think was three at the time, was literally the only kid in the place. And sitting on the front row, you remember back in those days what Mickey would say about "I'm a Believer." He would say, "Tell the kids I sang it before Shrek did."
I sang this before Shrek.
And when he said, "I was going to tell all the kids, but we got one in the audience," and they put the spotlight on my son, front row, and he's sitting there intently watching, and all of a sudden he's swallowed with bright white light, and it freaked him out. You can well imagine. I mean, he thought he was being attacked by the Klingons or something, you know, and he kind of freaked out a little bit. And Mickey said, "Oh no, 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 no! I've killed the little boy. Oh my God, no, 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 no! This is to you. We're singing to you. This is for you. Here we go. Boom!" And as soon as they were done, Rich handed Mickey the drumsticks, and they gave them to Bo. And I've got this incredible picture of Bo. Bo got drumsticks, I think, three times from the Monkees, and he thought that he was entitled to that. And I told him the last time we were all together, I said, "You know, you're older now. You're not nearly as cute. They're not going to give you the drumsticks anymore. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. So don't expect that anymore." But that's what these folks do is incredible. And by the way, also, I'm in absolute love, and I hope my wife doesn't mind me saying this. Mickey's sister, Coco, is an angel.
Yeah.
And sings like an angel. And my only problem with Mickey singing different drum on the Dolan Sings Nesmith album is that he sings different drum, which means she doesn't get to sing it in concert anymore. But
it's funny. That's exactly. See, I prefer Coco's version of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I was a little bit disappointed that song was on there, because to me, when she sings that, that is one of my favorite parts of the show, when she interacts with Wayne and they do different drums. I'll tell you what was really cool is that one of the new clients that I have, his name is Rex Smith, and he was big in the 70s.
I don't know what to say. You take my breath away, like water from a spring. Yes.
You know, he went to the show. I got him tickets to the show at the Greek Theater, and he recorded different drum that Mickey did and sent it to Linda Ronstadt while we were sitting there. And
hold a minute, Jody. You got to tell everybody. Yes. Rex Smith did Pirates of Penzance with Linda Ronstadt and Kevin Kline on Broadway. So that's the connection there. People need to remember that.
Yeah, I guess I'm not. I actually didn't know that either. I had to. When he said he was sending it to Linda Ronstadt, my mind just gets blown away. These are people that we grew up with, that we looked up to, that always put a smile on our faces. You know, if they never told us anything bad, everything was always just a smile and a laugh and a joke. And the only reason I'm okay with the fact that Nez is born is that he was religious and he was okay with death. Like, it scares me really bad, but he was not scared of it. So I know that wherever he is now, he's yelling at somebody here. I believe it was
a month ago yesterday or maybe the day before that we saw them in Atlanta at Atlanta Symphony Hall, front row. Again, my son and I, who's now almost as tall as I am, by the way. And Mickey said it better than anybody. He said, you know, Nez got stronger with every concert. And he actually said in an interview the other day that he believes that if the concert tour had not ended in November, that Nez would be alive right this minute.
I do believe 1,000% that this was his swan song, like, for real.
Yeah.
You know, when I think back, when I did see Nez walk off the stage at the Greek Theater, I did call my husband and I said, I think he's dying. The words, because I knew him, and when I saw him, he'd lost so much in a 2 weeks from when I first saw the show.
Yeah.
And I knew something was very wrong. But I do believe, like you said, this carried him to the fans. And on the last concert, I mean, what a beautiful ending. Even though they had a couple of, like, one-offs that were scheduled for 2022, it was the first time I ever heard Nez thank Monkey fans. I've heard him say all sorts of things. But after he did the song, While I'll Cry, he starts walking out, and Nez has his hands in the air, and he says, I dedicate this to you, all the Monkey fans out there. And it was, to me, what an ending. What an ending to an incredible life. The gift that he gave all of us. He, you know, people would say to me, well, he doesn't need the money. No, you're right. He doesn't need the money, but he didn't want to disappoint fans. And, you know, as it turns out, it probably did help keep him alive. He didn't die from the concert.
No. He was buoyed by him. Jody, I'm all out of time here. I cannot thank you enough. This has been a real treat. Do me a great big favor. Tell Mickey and Coco that Austin, Bobby, and Bo from Augusta say hello, and we hope to see him soon. I absolutely will. Yeah, I cannot tell you how much we appreciate all that you've done to help keep this wonderful little group's legacy alive. And I'm serious. We're going to work behind the scenes. I'm going to do everything I can to get them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And you have my word, I will help you. Happy holidays to you, to everybody out there. And thank you so much. Just make sure you keep listening to the band.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jody. Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Michael Nesmith, personal assistant, Jody Ritson.
Thanks for listening to The Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show. Listen to Austin weekdays from 3 till 6 on Augusta's News Talk and Information Station, WGAC, at 95.1 FM, 101.9 FM, and AM 580. Stream it live on WGAC.com or on the WGAC mobile app. Thanks for listening to The Rhodes Rewind of the Austin Rhodes Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.